children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to NASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. NASC, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues and addictions. If you know anybody that needs a referral, possibly they're recovering from the COVID-19, the family members are home while they're in a hospital, please give them our number. We can have therapists zoom in or speak on the telephone to those family members. Please, our number, it could be anonymous, everything is confidential, 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat our number. Please jot it down, maybe to yourself, a friend, a relative, 718-758-0400. We have therapists waiting to be able to offer the services with your insurance and no charge. For those that don't have insurance, please hold on to our number. Maybe you can give it and share it with somebody that needs it. Tonight, I'm very, very, very honored to have on the famous Dr. David Lieberman, who's an award-winning author and internationally recognized leader in the fields of human behavior and interpersonal relationships. He's an author of 12 books that are translated in, I think, 27 languages, and a New York Times bestseller who sold millions of copies worldwide. Thank you, Dr. Lieberman, for coming on with us tonight and making the time. I know how busy you are. Thank you.
Of course, and thank you for yourself and to MASC for the extraordinary work that you do for the CLOW. It is one of the most extraordinary organizations that is a linchpin in our community. So a big yashikarak for all the tremendous work that you and everyone you work with do on a daily basis.
Thank you. Yes, my staff is wonderful, and they're waiting to help everyone out there. So let's try and help people and share our numbers. Dr. Lieberman, times are so difficult now, and people, you know, we're home, we're working from home. Teachers are juggling teaching during the day while children are home with them, spouses out of work. Stressors are so high. Many people live in small quarters, lots of kids, small apartments. I mean, let's talk about the single best thing a parent can do in their house to improve their atmosphere today in the COVID-19 season?
Sure, that's a terrific question. And I would say it boils down to one word, and that is simcha. To bring light, joy into the house has to be, from my own perspective, the priority. Everything else can take second place. Whether or not the child is actually sitting there and paying attention to a Zoom class, or someone else is making a racket, or the kids get up late, or this doesn't get cleared, and so on. When you're in a confined space and pretty much stuck with each other, the priority, the overarching rule has to be, let's bring more simcha, more light in. And when we speak of light, by the way, it's interesting, the research on this in terms of physical light. This is not the time to skimp on the electricity bill. If you're able to, you know, those LED lights, they are very energy efficient, and the more light, actual light, you know, physical light from outside the sun, and even artificial light, the better the mood, the overall disposition is going to be. We're not even talking about seasonal affective disorder, which is something that affects folks in the winter. I'm speaking merely about just literally having more physical light where it's just brighter because people's moods are more enhanced. So with that is making simcha the overarching theme in the house, whether it's playing music, whether it's just, you know, foregoing traditional bedtimes, extra, you know, treats, snacks here and there. It should really be the number one objective, simcha.
So I must say that Hatzalah put out just the most amazing event this week. Online Omer, fundraiser for Hatzalah, United Protection, the Sefer Torah that everybody can, you know, sign up for a letter for themselves to partake. And I want you to know that whoever I spoke to since has brought up what joy it brought into their home, the music going on the night before and all afternoon and evening. Late into the night, it was extended. How the music actually changed the atmosphere in everyone's homes. I know I watched it till the end. My father is one of the founders, of Crown Heights, Hatzalah, Oliver Shalom, and my brother Yingi is, such a force in the community to help people, to help the Kwal. And so many families have reached out, spoken about the joy that it brought to their families. But let's talk about, you know, the single family household that has children home, the ex-husband or the ex-wife. The children can't go to them now. You know, that single family, parent family. So they can have their divorced and their children usually go every other weekend to their spouse, whether it's the mother or the father. And now with the COVID, they're saying not to send children to the other parent. I mean, that's painful for parents to be going through. A, they're not used to having their children, you know, at home with them 24/7, and B, the other parent is suffering by not getting the child. What advice do you have for those parents, please?
It's a very good question. Look, you know what? Communication doesn't always have to be having a conversation. In other words, sometimes you could be sitting with your child in the living room and maybe one of those that aren't too communicative, and you don't have to force a conversation. You don't have to say, what's going on? How was your day? Really? Come on, talk to me. You could sit there, open a magazine, open a safer, open a book with your child, and that is communication. That tells the child that you are there, and that's what it means to effectively communicate, that you're here for the person. And so even though you don't have that physical proximity, we do have the opportunity for certainly for the telephone, and for video conferencing if that's something that the home is comfortable with. At the same time, you know, there are other, modes and means for communication, such as, you know, painting pictures for younger children for the parents. You know, go ahead and why don't you make daddy a pretty picture of something. Let the child really invest time into it. When the child comes over to, you know, his father's house and he sees that prominently displayed, you know, that would have been, an amazing way to connect. So again, you know, connection can exist outside of actual face-to-face conversation.
Yes, and also I know that there are many families that purchase games, that both parents' households have the same games, and now parents are Zooming and playing games with their children over Zoom of the same game. So that's another way, is play chess with them through Zoom, etc. So, doctor, what about the child that is not a very chatty kind of kid?
Yeah, look, you know, different personalities. I joke when I speak on this that, you know, some kids are more chatty than others. We call them girls, and others less so, the boys. But it doesn't have to be, you know. I can drop my girls off at school before the COVID, and when I pick them up, I get a play-by-play of exactly what unfolded, you know, pretty much in real time. And I asked my sons, how was your day? And pretty much, you know, fine. Meanwhile, he's got a cast on his arm. And be like, you know, was it, did you break your arm today? Anything interesting happening? He goes, nah, it's a sprain. You know, they're not, sometimes just not so chatty. So, I mean, here's a couple of what I found to be very effective rules with kids who aren't so chatty. Call them boys, girls, teenagers, whatever. Number one is this. You know, when a child like that reaches out, you want to make sure that you're mindful of disagreements, not just criticism, but just the disagreements. You know, your child will get into the car, say, how was your day? Say, okay. And then they'll say something like, oh, you know, maybe you should take this road because there's traffic on that one. And a parent might just typically say, and no harm in it, generally speaking, say, no, it's fine. I just saw that, you know, that the traffic lightened up or so on. Now, even though there's nothing wrong with that exchange, for a child that is maybe very sensitive or just not too communicative, you want to be mindful to allow any sort of thread to continue to be woven into a larger conversation and not just clip it. So, you know, whatever the child says, even if it's completely out of left field, one of the phrases that I use a lot, is, that's interesting, tell me more. In other words, even if, once again, the child says, what are you doing with that? You know, luckily you're not supposed to put the hot thing onto the cold, whatever. And you could say, no, look and show kind of, blah, blah, blah. You could argue, shut them down. Or simply say, that's interesting, tell me more. Have a conversation. Kids that aren't too chatty, again, you want to be as positive as possible. Very often parents will say, you know, I can't get my teenager out of his room. I say, very nice. You know, when the teenager comes out of his room and he's greeted with, take out the garbage, why are you doing this? Why have you been in there for so long? What are you up to? I would stay in my room also. So you just want to be mindful that if you want to engage your children, be as positive as possible. It doesn't mean it's not a place for criticism and critique. It does mean that you have to be mindful that a child that's not always easy to connect with, you don't want to shut down too fast. And as we said before, you know, communication takes place in different means at different levels. Even sitting with your child, both enjoying an activity, even if it's a separate one, is fantastic. And if you're playing a game of chess together, you don't have to be chatting them up. You could just enjoy your child's company. In and of itself, that's very valuable.
So let's bring up the thing of self-doubt or fear of mistakes that parents have, especially when dealing with teenagers. You know, kids today may say, or may bring a kid home. You know, the teenagers are having a lot of difficulty staying home now, and a lot of the parents are calling and reaching out that their teenagers are leaving the house, hanging with friends, even during COVID-19, and there's nothing they can do. They just cannot stop them. They can talk until they're blue in their face. It doesn't help. So the kid comes back and brings teenager comes back and brings a friend and says, Ma, she's going to sleep over, or he's going to sleep over, you know. So what are your feelings, you know, parents self-doubt, that fear of making mistakes. If they tell their kid, you know, no, you can't, it's COVID-19, then they're afraid their child may then say, okay, bye, Ma, and they go to their house. So how do you feel about that whole back and forth where parents fear today's day and age of COVID-19, things are a big struggle with communication and power struggles and, you know, claustrophobia with teenagers?
Sure. Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. So first and foremost is this. You always want to let your child know that you trust him or her, even if you don't. Sort of like what Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. If your child believes that you don't trust them, then they have zero incentive for engaging properly, because you don't trust them anyway, so why not? So whenever possible, you want to communicate that you trust, and this is something I continue to tell my own kids, I trust your judgment. Now, after I say that, that's when we look at the facts and decide what makes the most sense. It doesn't, trusting your child and letting them know really that you trust them, even if you've got some hesitation, and not sharing that hesitation or reservation with them. Why it's so important is because Every child wants to be good. No child wants to let their parent down. No child wants to feel like they haven't done enough, which is why guilt trips and making a child feel bad for something that they've done, by the way, just parenthetically, is awful for three reasons. Number one is this. When you make a child feel bad for something, very often the parents will innocently say, oh, you lost the mitzvah there. Well, you know, you missed an opportunity. Or what are you doing? You know, that's not proper kibbutz. Whatever it is. Number one is the child's mad at you. Number two is the child is mad at themselves, right? They have engaged in a way that brings them feelings of guilt or shame, inferiority, insecurity, whatever. And then third is they're coming up with all the justifications as to why they're doing it is okay and permissible. So if your child is doing something and they're going to do it anyway and they're not going to listen to you, first best to pretend like you don't even know what's going on, because whatever degree they can operate and feel that shame still of you knowing will insulate the behavior somewhat. And again, we're painting in broad strokes here. This doesn't mean that you allow your child to engage in something that's improper or illegal or inappropriate. What it does mean, if you know unequivocally the child is going to do X, Y, Z, calling them out on it is counterproductive. If you want to have a conversation with the child, there's certainly a protocol that we can discuss how to do that. But, you know, to your original question is that you want to be mindful that these are extraordinary times. And one of the best ways to sort of lay down a policy that the house follows is to lay down a policy that the house follows, meaning that your child comes to you and says, I want to go to so-and-so's house. And there's not been an established policy about what we're going to do about other people's houses. Now you get into a power struggle and they take it personally. But if as a family you abide by whatever guidelines you are comfortable with when it comes to interpersonal interactions, relationships, communication, distancing, and so on, then that's simply the protocol. This is what we do in these cases. So it's a lot easier to tell your child that that's not something that you're comfortable with, rather than get into a power struggle each and every time they want to do something. So having sort of a blanket policy is good. Once again, be mindful that it's important to be as flexible as you can, that whatever comfort level you have, you should expand on that, because the restrictions are onerous on everybody. And again, you know, lighten up where you can lighten up, even if it's outside of your usual comfort zone.
So let's go to a whole nother topic, and that is social media, please. You know, until COVID-19, we all were so careful about, oh, the kids, some families will only let their child have, you know, iPad use on a Sunday for 1 hour. Other families, you know, control it other ways. Now everybody is on their, you know, devices all day and all night, both adults, both teenagers, both children, all of us. So let's talk about, first of all, the news. Adults are looking at social media, keeping up with the news, and are frightened for so many weeks. We were frightened, so many people dying. Well, Elena was so sad and brought sadness to their family because they saw the reaction of their parents, you know, reacting to all that bad news. And then the teenagers are on social media. One kid said, I'm all Netflix out. I watched everything there is available. Now I have nothing to do. Now I want to go out of the house. And the younger kids are like, the parents are so overwhelmed, whether it's with anxiety of their husbands or themselves losing a job or not having their livelihood now, or the close quarters, or Zooming school. So social media as a whole, what do you want to say to our families, please?
Well, so, you know, I do think that the ramifications of social media are going to extend well beyond COVID. And while I do believe this is a time for flexibility, it's not a time for compromising on one's hashgafa. So it would be reckless of me to say what people should or shouldn't do. I can say that just a public service announcement, there are settings on the iPhones to make sure it goes into what's a night shift mode, is because the light spectrum, it gets a little technical, but the light spectrum that comes out affects the pituitary gland and the release of melatonin, which interferes with the sleep cycle. So just be aware that you know, being on the device, certain devices that are not set for the night shift will affect the sleep, which is something else we didn't get into, but certainly very important. You know, I have a number of talks, 100+ talks on Torah anytime. And amongst those talks, some of the most popular ones are the ones when we talk about social media. And this was before the whole COVID situation. You know, the question is so important, so valuable, but I'm not sure it's responsible of me to say what parents should or shouldn't do. It's a question for them and their Rav. I can say that on one hand, we should be flexible in terms of, you know, allowing, you know, outside of our comfort zone. At the same time, we have to be mindful of our overall hashkafa and maintaining the values and integrity of, that's important to us. So where you have to rein in, where you have to set a boundary, find other ways that you can give to the child that allow him to feel connected. And just on the news, stay away, stay away, stay away. There are so many studies and so much research, and I've been speaking for the past 6 weeks on it. You don't need to know everything that's going on. First off, from a spiritual level, it interferes with your betachen. Because what you're saying is, the more information I have, I'm going to move an unknown into a known, I'll feel more secure and less anxious, and the opposite ends up happening. You don't need to be on 24-6, you don't need to be on 24-1. Every once in a while, check in, have somebody tell you if there's anything new, and call it a day. You'll have a different quality of life.
So yes, I'm glad you brought up Torah Anytime. Those listening, Torah Anytime is just an amazing site. You can listen to Dr. Lieberman's previous speeches over the air. So let's just talk about the anxious child. A child that's naturally, you know, they have anxiety, and now these times, yeah, they're more anxious. What advice do you have to give to parents?
Okay.
Because
good.
Parents
just...
are saying, I just want to say, add, yeah, that parents keep saying when they call the helpline, they'll say, I tell my kid just snap out of it. And I go, that doesn't work. So let's talk,
yeah,
about the anxious thoughts, please.
Okay. So, yeah, once again, I have one or two full-length talks on Torah Anytime on anxiety in children. There's so much to cover. But in broad strokes, number one is this. You're right. Saying snap out of it is useless. It's like someone come over to you and saying, oh, don't worry, and you're suddenly feeling magically better. The part of their brain, the amygdala, the fear center, doesn't listen to reason and rationale. There's no penetrating it. The only way you adjust your emotions for ourselves or in anyone else is to change their focus, which means you've got to change your thinking. Thoughts follow emotions. So if you're thinking something, you're going to be feeling something. Telling a child to feel differently if they're anxious is useless. You have to put their thoughts on something else. The quickest way to make yourself neurotic is by focusing on all those things in your life that you can't control. COVID-19 has brought that into our Dalet Amis, the illusion of that insecurity, that feeling that we are very vulnerable and very helpless, which we've always been. We're responsible for nothing else other than our choices. But this unpredictability feeds into the anxious child. So putting his or her focus on things that they can control, what they can do that is productive. And again, when they change your focus, you change your thoughts, change your emotion. And there's a lot of research that goes into something called the reticular activating system in terms of what we hone in on. But once again, in broad strokes, modeling is very important. Let your child see that you are calm and relaxed. Mindfulness meditation is something that's also very, very, very valuable for your child and for yourself to help calm the central nervous system. Certainly pay attention to diet and exercise. But by all means, don't tell your child to snap out of it or to just stop being anxious. Put their focus, their thoughts on something else, and then their feelings will shift.
So, doctor, let's talk about your new book that's out there, please, so that we can all go out on and order one.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. It's a book called Never Get Angry Again. It's out through St. Martin's Press, and it's a general audience book. And it really, it's becoming actually, Baruch Hashem, it's done well since it's been out, but now it's really taking off, in part because that we find that what drives anger is fear. And right now, people are very anxious and very fearful, which leads to more anger and resentment and frustration. And what the book does is it shows you step by step how to help diffuse your feelings of anxiety and fear, and with it, anger.
And it is available for purchase. Anybody that wants to purchase it can get it on Amazon and in their local stores.
It's available everywhere. The book is called, Never Get Angry Again.
Doctor, would you like to talk about the other book you have, The Real Power book? I think that one's about rising above your nature, feeling angry, anxious, and insecure.
Thank you. It's a nice book. It's called Real Power, and it shows people the connection between the quality of our choices and their emotional state, in terms of how when you act responsibly and do what's right, it brings down your anxiety threshold. But when you act irresponsible and do what you know is wrong, it sort of walks you through the logic how and that ends up causing understandably guilt, anxiety, and shame, but then that ultimately corrupts your ability to have betachen and to trust in Hashem. So by making good choices, we actually create ourselves into a kli that's able to be more trustworthy and to feel less anxious. And let me say, people can actually get that book for free. Can I give out the info where they can just access a free ebook?
UJA was built for this moment. For more than 100 years, UJA has been caring for our community. And thanks to your generous support, UJA has been positioned to respond rapidly and effectively to meet the vast needs of all who are counting on us. That's why UJA is on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis, delivering kosher meals for seniors and stocking pantries with kosher food for the growing numbers of hungry people, offering emergency aid, providing protective gear, giving struggling families the cash assistance they so desperately need, supporting cornerstone institutions, including yeshivas, that are the heart and soul of Jewish life, and of course, ensuring dignified Jewish burials. Your help is needed now more than ever to ensure the vitality of our community. With your support, we will get through this together. Please donate now at ujafedny.org. That's ujafedny.org. UJA Federation of New York, helping our community.
Hi, this is Dr. Raphael Kelman. I will be doing a new show called COVID-19, Effective Natural Treatments, on TalkLine over WSNR 620 AM, as well as on TalkLineCommunications.com. I will be discussing that there are herbs and natural compounds found in nature that have been shown to help with previous viruses, and I believe can help to both prevent and combat the COVID epidemic as well. I will tell you what you're not being told, and I will inform you on a weekly basis the rapidly emerging science, both in the new drugs that are being developed and in the natural treatment. So don't forget to join me every Tuesday night live, 7 to 8 p.m. And if you have any questions in the interim, feel free to call me at 212-717-1118, or you can reach me at kelmancenter.com.
The coronavirus pandemic is sickening hundreds of thousands and killing so many. But it's not only our local communities that are being devastated. Israel, a place so special to many of us, is also grappling with this deadly disease. But you can make a difference. Magen David Adom, Israel's National Emergency Medical Service, is leading the fight to contain COVID-19. Their EMTs and paramedics are conducting thousands of tests daily to identify who has the disease and enable them to get treatment without infecting others. And MDA's Blood Services Division is collecting antibody-rich plasma from recovered patients to treat the ailing and potentially save their lives. But Magen David Adom needs supplies and personal protection equipment to continue to save patients while keeping EMTs safe. Make a gift today at redstarforisrael.org. That's redstarforisrael.org. and save life in Israel today.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.